Thinking about the grace of God this afternoon, and we all know that salvation is by grace through faith in one and one alone, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? God saves us by His grace. Aren't you glad He changes us by His grace?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, when you get saved and you start living for the Lord, He changes you. He gives us His grace to serve Him. He gives us His grace in times of difficulty and hardship. And that same grace that we're so familiar with in salvation and in service for the Lord and in times of hardship is the same grace that God gives us when He wants us to do our giving. Amen? And aren't you glad that God delivers His grace just at the time when we need it? He's not early, He's not late, He's always right on time, just like I'd take this hymnal, let's let this hymnal represent the grace of God, and God just at the appropriate time delivers it. Amen. At the time we need it most. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight, Philippians chapter 4, we're going to use our Bibles a great deal tonight, and this is kind of a different message. I thought tonight we'd go just a little bit different route tonight, but I've been praying about this message here this week. I want you to look with me, if you will. You know, if you give to missions tonight, because that's what Fellowship Baptist Church does, that's great. If you give to missions tonight because, you know, Brother Thompson and Pastor admonish you to do that, that's good. But I want to give you something tonight that I hope you'll sink your teeth into. I love to get something from the Word of God, don't you? To tuck way down in my heart, because the reason I love it so much is because the Word of God never changes. Amen? And so I want you to look with me tonight, if you will, at Philippians chapter 4. I really do believe tonight that we'll have something here that I think you can take with you this evening and apply during this missions revival. Okay, let's pray together. Father, tonight, thank You for Lord, what we've heard tonight, Lord, how You've stirred our hearts already with the music, with the hymns, with the specials. Father, thank You so much tonight for the kindness of this church and their priorities, Lord, when it comes to missions and winning souls. Father, tonight now we pray that that You would help us. I sense a good spirit here tonight, and I pray that You'd take the message, use it in our hearts. Father, help us tonight to be what we need to be in this hour. To give like we ought to give, to do what we ought to do, and to be what we ought to be. Father, help us, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The title of the message tonight is First Century Missionary Giving. First Century Missionary Giving. I'm going to ask some people tonight to help me with this message in just a moment, but I want you to go with me to verse 15 of Philippians chapter 4. Let's read together a few verses. The Bible says in verse 15, "Now ye Philippians know also," and Paul, of course, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to the church at Philippi, he says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Verse 17 reads, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full and have received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." And then probably one of the most misunderstood verses in the entire Bible, verse number 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And we could go on reading to the end of the chapter, but I want us to look, if you will, at verse number 10. Paul is rejoicing here as he writes to the Philippian church, and the Bible says in verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly," Paul the missionary speaking to the church, "that now in the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Now, I'm preaching this message tonight. I preach this message in new churches, but I think we have something here tonight that we can really, I think, use as you look at where we are as far as our country and where we are as far as missions tonight and church planting. We're going to kind of look at a lot of things like that in the few minutes we have together this evening. You know, some people get the idea that giving to missions is some Johnny-come-lately idea. Some people think that, you know, maybe there was a group of men that gathered in a boardroom in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and came up with this faith promise giving to support missionaries to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and win people to the Lord and establish churches. Some people think that was established maybe 100 years ago, or maybe during the time that America was being formed, or back in William Carey's day. But you can trace what you do here at Fellowship Baptist Church when it comes to missions giving. You can trace that all the way back to first century Christianity. I mean, when people were going out to preach the gospel in first century Christianity, and there were people who were actually helping them do that along the way, and we're going to see that in the scriptures tonight. And I want you to look at verse number 15. The Bible says here in Philippians chapter 4, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving." But go up to verse 14. Paul's talking about communication here too. He says, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." Now, Paul is not talking about verbal communication, okay? There were no phone lines in Paul's day. There was no cell phones. There were no texting, no internet. By the way, with all those modern day conveniences, have you tried to get a hold of some people lately? I mean, I can play phone tag with somebody for an entire week sometimes, amen? I mean, you would think we would be able to instantaneously in this hour be able to communicate with people. Paul's not talking about verbal communication here. You know, many times when you read the Bible, if you just keep on reading, it'll really explain itself. So in verse 15, the Bible says that this communication, because there's that word again in verse 15, had to do with giving and receiving. So what we're seeing here is the church gave and Paul received. And in verse 10, and actually in verse 14, he is saying they had done well. And he was commending them on their support of him. But I want you to look at something in verse 15. The Bible says, in the beginning of the gospel. What was Paul speaking about there when he talked about in the beginning of the gospel? Now, this message tonight is really a glorified Bible study. I'm going to throw in some preaching here along the way. But what was Paul talking about here when he said in the beginning of the gospel? Was he speaking about the time that the Lord Jesus went to the cross of Calvary? Because we know the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Was he talking about that day that Jesus willingly laid down his life on that old rugged cross and shed his blood there, and they placed him in the grave, and he was there for 3 days and three nights, coming out of the grave whole and alive? Is that what Paul is talking about? No. In the beginning of the gospel, Paul is talking about when the gospel first went into the region of Macedonia. So what I want you to do tonight is put a marker in your Bible here, Philippians chapter 4, a piece of paper or something. We're going to go back to Acts chapter 16, okay? And we're going to look at how this all comes together here. And we're going to take a missions trip. How many have ever gone on a missions trip? A number of you. How many would like to go on a missions trip? How many want to go on one tonight? Well, okay, all right. Philippians, I want you to look with me at Acts, I should say. Acts chapter 16, all right? Acts chapter 16. Let me give you a little background on Acts chapter 16. This is Paul's second missionary journey. Missionary journey number one is completed. Paul has went out to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks have been saved. People have been baptized. Churches have been established. He's gone back to Antioch, and he's reported to his church there at Antioch, the sending church. And now he and his church planting team are ready to head out on missionary journey number two. All right? Now, I'm not good at directions. The other night I told you I turned the wrong way out there on the highway. I'm not good on directions, but tonight we're going to pretend that this direction is west. It's probably east, isn't it? No? Well, it's going to be west tonight, amen? This is going to be west, all right? So Paul and his church planting team are assembling here, and they're going in a westerly direction. I want you to look at verse number 6 in chapter 16. "Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So Paul and his church planting team are headed in a westerly direction. And they get to this place called Mysia, and the Bible says that Paul's wondering, maybe we should go into Bithynia. Now, if you ever take the time to check your Bible maps in the back of your Bible, you'll find that Bithynia was northeast of where they were. It would be the area today of Asia and Russia. And the Bible says that Paul's wondering, you know, maybe his church planting team should go northeast, but the Bible says the Spirit suffered him not. Man, it's a good idea to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Do you realize tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we sit in the greatest country on the face of God's earth because right here in Scripture, Paul obeyed the Spirit's leading and he continued in a westerly direction? Think about it. If he had turned northeast up into Russia, maybe today Russia would be the America and we'd be the Russia. Think about it. But he obeyed the Spirit of God. He headed in a westerly direction. And the Bible says in verse 9, he's coming down now to Troas in verse 8. And in verse 9, the Bible says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man in Macedonia, of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And verse 10 says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Now, Macedonia was not a city. It was a region. It would be like the state of Virginia. It was a large area. Paul's going into Macedonia. He's headed in a westerly direction. He has to cross the Aegean Sea, I believe, and he gets into the country or the region of Macedonia. And the chief city of that region is Philippi. Let's read about it. Therefore, in verse 11, loosing from Troas, what do they do? Well, verse 12 says, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city certain days. Now, I'm going to ask some men to come and help me tonight. Brother Bradley, you come and help me tonight. Brother Jacob, why don't you come on up here tonight? I'm going to have Brother Bradley, because he presented his ministry tonight, he's going to be the Apostle Paul. Amen? And we're going to have Brother Richard represent a city of Philippi here. He's going to be one of the citizens of Philippi. So come on up here, Richard. I'm going to put you over here. And all you have to do is stand for about the next hour and a half. No, I'm kidding. All right? Just stand right there, okay? And you're a citizen of Philippi. Paul, you come on up here on the platform because you're headed in a westerly direction, okay? And we're going to need some more help here in just a minute. But notice with me in the Bible, let's go down to number 12. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the river or by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. Now, that's an interesting verse. Paul comes into Philippi. Who did Paul always go to first? The Jews. But he comes into Philippi and he goes down to the river. Why did he go down to the river? I did a study on that, Pastor. I found out that to have a synagogue, there had to be 10 Jewish men in the city to have a synagogue. If they didn't have 10 Jewish men or 10 Jewish families, they couldn't have a synagogue. The Jewish people still use the word today. It's called a minyan. A minyan. If they didn't have a minyan, they couldn't build a synagogue. But they still met. Where did they meet? They met at the place of prayer. And so Paul marches into Philippi, which is a Roman colony. There's no synagogue. So I imagine the conversation might have went like this. Hey, where's the synagogue? And the response was, synagogue? We don't have a synagogue. Paul probably asked him, well, where do the Jews meet? Oh, you mean the place of prayer? Yeah, the place where the Jews meet. It's down by the river. And so Paul marches down to the riverside, and guess who's there? Lydia. What about Lydia? She was a Gentile woman. Gentile women and Gentiles at that point, they worshiped all kinds of gods, but as Paul preached the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, Lydia turned her back on those Gentile gods, and as she came towards the light of the true God, Jehovah God, God gave her more light, and she trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. Not only did she get saved, but her entire household got saved. And they were baptized. Later on down in the chapter, the drop down, if you will, to verse 30, here's the Philippian jailer. You remember the earthquake and the Philippian jailer? Look at verse 30. And they brought and brought them out and said, oh my, here's the most direct question in the entire Bible. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now your church probably gets labeled like my church gets labeled. Sometimes people call us legalists. They label us legalists because we preach holiness. But they're showing how ignorant they are. Legalism is anything that you add to grace. That's legalism. But anyway, Paul is there in Philippi and he's preaching the gospel. Folks are getting saved and a church is planted. A church gets started there. You say, how do you know a church got started there, Brother Bob? Because we were just reading out of a book, a letter to the Philippian church there at Philippi. And so a church was started. Now let me say this tonight, and I'm just gonna be real simple tonight. It's a basic, simple message, but this is missions in its purest form right here. A man of God, called of God, goes to the place where God wants him to go. He proclaims the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you proclaim it enough, somebody's going to respond. And so you just keep preaching and you keep preaching and you keep preaching. And people were saved and folks were baptized and a church was started. This is missions in its purest form. Now, when I pastored, we supported some good works in the States. We supported some Bible colleges and camps, and we did that out of our general fund. But missions in its purest form is what you see right here. Now, it's not teaching people how to grow corn. It's not teaching people how to dig wells. J. Herbert Cain said, missions is really not missions work at all if it's not evangelistic missions. Amen? The preaching of the gospel's got to take place. So Paul goes to Philippi, a church gets started, praise the Lord. Let's go down to chapter 17, and let's see here. If you'll come on up here, Brother Oliver, we're going to have you be a resident of the city of Thessalonica, okay? All right, here we go. Let's look at chapter 17, verse 1. Are you with me tonight, church? Everybody with me? I told you this is going to be more like a lesson than maybe preaching, but we'll throw some preaching in. Now, when they had passed throughout Amphipolis and Apollonia, chapter 17, verse 1, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Ah, now watch him. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Now, if you mark your Bible tonight, underline that phrase, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. I'll show you something about that in just a little bit. So he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. What happened? Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And notice what happened in verse 4. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. What happened over in Thessalonica? Same thing that happened over at Philippi. Come on down here to Thessalonica, Paul. All right? You're a little bit late, but we'll let you come on anyway. Okay, so Paul preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. What happens, folks? Folks respond. By the way, people will always respond to the preaching of the gospel. Amen? It'll either be a positive response or a negative response. But Paul preaches. He's called of God. He's like an energizer bunny. He gets those churches started, and he just goes down the road and starts another one. And there he is preaching to the Thessalonians, and folks get saved, and folks get baptized, and a church gets started. How do you know a church got started? Because you have two books in your Bible, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, letters to the Thessalonian church, amen? By the way, when you read the book of Philippians, when you read the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, when you read those books, read them carefully, read them slowly. I believe these two churches were precious churches to the Apostle Paul. He loved these churches. He uses words like beloved, dearly beloved. These were precious, precious churches to the heart of the Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul always had a plan. And when he walked into that city, when he walked into Thessalonica, when he came to Philippi, he had a threefold purpose. Number one, proclaim the gospel. Number two, perfect the saints. Number three, plant a church. Amen. And you watch the Apostle Paul, pretty much everywhere he went, if he was not hindered, that was his goal. Proclaim, perfect, plant. So now he comes on down the road. He's given those people a Bible college education, and he's coming down the road, and he's going to get to Berea. So, my brother, could I have you come? And would you be the resident of Berea? I'll tell you why I picked him tonight, because he's more noble than those over in Thessalonica. Amen? Yeah, come on over here. Amen. Come on over here. Let's put you over here. All right, now we got to stay on this side of the pulpit because we're going to do something here in just a moment. So Paul comes to Berea. Take your Bibles tonight. Notice with me. Are you with me, church?
Amen.
All right. I'm not putting you to sleep, am I? Okay. All right, here we go. Let's go to Berea, chapter 17, verse 10, okay? Here it is. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas unto Berea, who coming thither went into unto the synagogue of the Jews. There he goes again. He's going into the synagogue. All right, look at verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word with all readiness of mind. I was preaching this message. I gotta tell them this, preacher. I was preaching this message out in Phoenix in a new church plant. And I picked a guy to be Berea. And I use the same line every time I preach this. I said, because you look more noble than those over in Thessalonica. And everybody laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. I thought, well, it wasn't that funny. Well, after the service, the pastor came up to me. He said, you know why they were all laughing? I said, no, because that guy you picked, his name was Ricky Noble. Makes sense, amen? All right, so verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. What happened over in Berea? Same thing that happened over in Thessalonica. It happens everywhere you proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody's going to get saved. I don't know what the numbers were. Does it really matter how many people got saved at Berea? Now, we don't have a book in our Bible, a letter to the Berean church. But can we assume for the sake of the illustration that Paul did the very same thing in Berea that he had done over in Thessalonica, that he had done over in Philippi? Can we assume that tonight, church? I think we can. I don't think we're going to do injustice to the Scriptures. I think Paul's plan was the same in Berea as it was in those towns. He proclaimed the gospel. Once people were saved, he perfected the saints. After that, he planted the church and he left it in capable hands and he moved on. Now, when Paul finished in Berea, he's going to leave Macedonia, okay? So he's going to cross the border. So come on over on this side, Paul. And yeah, bring that with you if you will. Bring the other one first, I guess. That would be the one I need. Bring that first. I need a volunteer tonight. Who can you help me, brother? Come on up here if you will. All right. We're going to bring Paul over to Achaia, and we're going to find him in the chief city. You read about Achaia in your Bible. He crosses the border. He leaves Macedonia. Hang with me, guys. I'll be with you in just a minute, okay? And he gets over to Athens. Now, Athens, you know Athens. It was the center of intellectualism, amen? This was a place where all the big thinkers gathered, and they had all of those idols, you know, and all of those gods, false gods. Paul was a smart man. He had been trained under a man by the name of Gamaliel. And when he got over there to Athens, I want you to read about this with me, if you will. Notice what happens here. And let's see, where do I want to go here? Therefore verse 17 of chapter 17, he gets to Achaia, to Athens, the chief city of Achaia. And notice what the Bible says. Now, the Bible has been saying he's been going into the synagogue reasoning with the Jews. But when he gets here to Athens, notice here in verse 17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue. I think when Paul saw all that intellectualism and all that false religion, he just reared back and let them have it. And can I tell you, things didn't go so well in Athens. A few people got saved. Things didn't go so hot. The Bible says in verse 34, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Diosthenes the Areopagite and a woman named Demarius and others with them. But things did not go so well in Athens. So what did Paul do as a church planting missionary? Well, he sucked his thumb and said, I'm going home. This missionary work is not for me. No, he kept on going. Now, Brother Bradley, there'll be days in New York City where you will have Philippian experiences, and things will go wonderful, and you'll praise God because of what God has done, and you'll marvel at the grace of God and how He works in lives, and you'll have a Thessalonican experience once in a while, and I mean, thank God for those mountaintop experiences, but you'll have a few Athens experiences too. And at that point, you just have to realize, hey, I'm going to trust God, I'm going to believe God, I'm going to go forward for God. And I'm glad Paul kept on going, because he got to a place called Corinth. And I'll need another volunteer here. Somebody come on up here and be a resident of Corinth, will you? Who's going to help me here? Somebody that can stand for just a few minutes. Will you come, brother? Thank you. All right. Paul gets to Corinth. Drop down in your Bible there for just a moment. Let's take a look at what happens in Corinth. Paul goes forward. The Bible says over in chapter 18, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. All right, you're headed in a westerly direction there, Paul, so come around and there you go, there you go. And found a certain Jew named Aquila and so forth. And then look at verse 4. And he reasoned in the scriptures, or in the synagogue, I should say. Notice with me, he got back to reasoning with them. All of a sudden, he's not disputing with them, he's reasoning with them. And what happens? And he persuaded the Jews and the Greeks, and he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And notice in verse 8, this is a big deal. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. What happened in Corinth? Folks were saved, folks were baptized, a church was started, because we have two books in our Bible, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. I believe when Paul got to Corinth, you start to read the first few chapters there of 1st Corinthians. I believe without a doubt that Paul got back to the basics. I think he got back to just preaching the Word of God and proclaiming the fact that folks had to put their trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And if they didn't, they were going to that other place. And the church had some problems, I understand that. But nevertheless, a church was started. Now, everybody still with me? All right, now, go back in your Bibles. Guys, hang with me for just a minute. Go back in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, okay? Philippians chapter 4. And I want you to see something here. This is what really, you can mark your Bible here in verse number 15. The beginning of the gospel was really this ministry to these towns over there in Macedonia, over there in Achaia. Now, Paul, I'm going to back you up just a minute, and I want to put you right here in Berea, and you're getting ready to leave Macedonia, and you're going to go over there to Achaia, okay? So face a westerly direction. Notice with me, if you will, in the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to see what verse 15 says here. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. What was happening there in that verse? I firmly believe that back at the church of Philippi, the folks were probably talking among themselves. Maybe they were meeting. Someone said, hey, where's the Apostle Paul, that man that started our church, that man that came and preached the gospel to our city and helped us get the church started? Oh, the Apostle Paul. Why, he's ready to leave Macedonia. He's going to go over there into Achaia, and we hear he's going to Athens. And they said, well, let's be a blessing to the Apostle Paul. So they received an offering, and they sent it by courier. And I'm going to put that right here, and I'll be the courier facing that way, Brother Paul. Okay, here we go. And I come along, and I find Paul. Hey, Paul, before you leave, we want you to know we have something here for you. We want to give you something. We want to pray for you, and we want you to know that we are praying for you. And this is a little something to help you in your ministry. Thank you for coming to our town. Hey, we believe in what you're doing. Amen. We love you. We want you to keep on doing what the Lord has called you to do. Hey, Fellowship Baptist Church, that's what you say every month when your support checks go out. You're saying, missionary, we love you. Missionary, we believe in you. We want you to keep on doing what God has called you to do. But I want you to notice something in that passage. Notice with me, if you will. Back up a little bit. In fact, let's back you up, Paul. Let's back you up over here. The Bible says, for even in Thessalonica, He sent once and again unto my necessity. Over there, as he was leaving Philippi and going to Thessalonica, I believe the Philippian church said, hey, we want to keep on supporting the Apostle Paul and helping him and encouraging him in the work that he's doing. I mean, his preaching changed our lives. Jesus has changed us. Let's receive an offering. And so they got connected with Paul, and they said, Paul, thank you for coming to our town. We're gonna try as best we can to help you. And notice what the Bible says here. The Bible says they received that offering once and again. Kind of sounds like regular support. This is getting better, isn't it, Paul? Amen. Once and again. I mean, it takes some groceries to feed a guy this guy, you know? I mean, I know because I'm there. Amen? Amen? But once and again, kind of sounds like regular support. Amen? Now, let's do this, Paul. I want you to think with me just for a moment. Paul says, and by the way, notice in this passage here in chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Doesn't say luxury. It says necessity. What's the root word of necessity? Need. Paul says, hey, you sent unto my need. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been with enough missionaries over the years, both on foreign soil and in America. These folks aren't getting rich. Now, I imagine there's a bad missionary or two, just like there's a bad doctor or two, a bad mechanic or two. But by and large, the missionaries I'm with, 99.9% of them, what they're doing is they're taking their support, they're plowing that part of that support back into the ministry. They're buying gospel tracts, they're renting buildings, they're buying advertising, they're buying Bibles, they're trying to get all these things they need for the ministry and so forth, and they're living on a portion of it. You know what? Sometimes what happens if we're not careful, we put missionaries in kind of a category like the doctor or the dentist, the missionary. Hey, they're people. They have needs. Their cars break down. Their clothes wear out. Their kids get sick. They are people. They have faces. They have needs. And Paul says, thank you. You've helped us meet our need. Every single month, ladies and gentlemen, as you participate in this faith promise giving and as you actively are involved in hopefully increasing that giving and trusting God and believing that by faith He's going to enable you to do what He's leading you to do, you are meeting the needs of multiple missionaries around the world and here in the States. And Paul says, thank you. Thank you for communicating with me. You've met my need. Gentlemen, thank you. You can just put those in a chair there, if you will. You can be seated. I want you to look at one last verse and we'll be done tonight. One last verse. Y'all still with me? Amen. Look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I don't know how many times as a pastor, you've probably had this happen. You go to somebody's house, I mean, you don't even know if they're saved or not, especially in the South, and you'll talk to them about maybe the Lord or coming to church or something, and they'll be having some rough times, but they'll quote this verse and they'll say, but my God shall supply my need. You know, in the context of this passage, ladies and gentlemen, tonight in Philippians chapter 4, this is a promise to those who get involved in the matter of mission giving. Amen? Now, when you think about that, why is it that God blesses some churches and some individuals more than others? Well, first of all, God is a sovereign God. Amen? I mean, He can choose to do anything He wants to do, anytime He wants to do it, anywhere He wants to do it, with whomever He wants to do it. Amen? But I'm wondering if the answer, or at least a partial answer to this question, is found right here in Philippians 4:19. It was obvious coming in here to Fellowship Baptist Church on Sunday that you have some priorities as a church. And right up there at the top of the priority list is missions and soul winning. It's a tragedy when churches start to change those priorities. And I'm not preaching a prosperity doctrine tonight. I'm not. This is a promise from the Word of God tonight. It is a promise that's evident here in the ministry of Fellowship Baptist Church. It's so evident being here these days with you that God is blessing the ministry of this local church, and He's using you as a congregation. Why? Because you have put your priorities in the right place and you're keeping them there. And God says, hey, church, I'm going to meet your need. I'm going to meet the need. I met a young man several years ago. His name was Matt Pringle, just like the potato chip. Matt was living in Kansas City, Missouri, and he was going to a church just west of the city. And Matt told me an interesting story. He was working for a manufacturing firm there. He was going to that church. It was Faith Promise Missions Conference. He said, Brother Larson, can I share a story with you? I said, I wish you would. What's the story about? He said, last year during Faith Promise Missions Conference and during Missions Revival, he said, boy, the Lord put an amount on my heart that I thought the Lord had made a mistake. He said, I prayed about it for several days. I asked my wife to pray. And he said, at the end of the week, we determined that God was leading us to take a giant step of faith. He said, honestly, I didn't know how God was going to enable us to do this. But, you know, he said, we put it down on our Faith Promise card. We trusted God and we went forward. And I told my wife, he said, I'm just going to trust God week by week. And he said, I'll admit, some weeks it was a stretch. But he said, you know what, Brother Bob? God, through His enabling grace, supplied the need. We were there every single year or every single week during the year. We put in our tithe, our faith promise. He said, at the end of the year, November, there was a circular going around work. He said, I work for a manufacturing firm in Kansas City. He said, the circular that was going around the plant said this: if you have contributed to a nonprofit organization this past year, we have had one of the best years ever in sales, and if you'll bring proof of your contribution, we will match your contribution. Brother Matt waved the supervisor over. He said, does that mean my church? Supervisor says, I guess so. Why don't you go up to the office and find out? Boy, it was an excited Matt Pringle calling the treasurer of the church that night. He said, hey, I need some proof that I've given to the church last week or last year. You got something on paper you can put on paper? He said, yeah, we can get you something. Matt brought it back to the office there of the plant where he worked. And on the last Sunday of that year, Matt was able to drop in a check that actually doubled his faith promise giving. He said, Brother Bob, I know now why God was wanting us to stretch. Because He was going to take what we trusted Him to do and He was going to multiply it. Now, God's blessings are not always monetary, amen? He may be supplying your need tonight when it comes to your health. He may be supplying your need tonight when it comes to giving you a good, godly spouse that loves you and is serving alongside of you. Hey, that's meeting a tremendous need in your life. Maybe tonight you're looking around the pew, or maybe they're upstairs, but you've got some sweet kiddos, and God has blessed you with a family. And you're leading them in the way of the Lord, and things are sweet at your home, and what a blessing that is. And God is meeting your needs spiritually in your family day by day and week by... Hey, God promises, I'm going to meet your need. You put His priorities in the right place. God said, I'll take care of it. I'll meet your need. Maybe it's a good job you have, and you know there's just really a blessing in having a good job that's regular and you're able to take care of your family. Maybe it's a comfortable home that God has given you recently, or maybe you have a comfortable home, or You know, you get home and every time you have a meal, there's food on the table. I'm not preaching tonight. I am not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm preaching a promise from the Word of God. Put a big old P by that verse number 19 right there. But my God, our God, shall supply the need as we put His priorities first. Oh, it's a conditional promise. But it is a promise that we can take to the bank and we can believe in. Father, tonight, simple message, simple promise. May you bless your people as they make their commitments this week for the coming year. Lord, you may not bless them monetarily, but if we look around, Lord, we've got a bushel basket full of blessings from you that we could count. And you promised to supply our needs. Lord, supply the needs of this church, this ministry. Supply the needs of your dear people because they're willing to trust you and believe you and obey you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.